primary purpose. We can all settle down. Thank you. Hi, welcome to Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Studies Group, Thursday night, Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Okay, I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Jessica. Hi. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to do our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment, get situated, turn off all devices that make noise or disturb others. Take this time to get connected with God. Let the craziness of the day drift away, shake it off, and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight, ladies. Is everybody ready?
Via tuos spiritus mentes omnis ita in peso per la gratia creto via sine tua miseris
somebody to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of these 12 steps is to have one. So it's kind of important to know what one is. Please. My friend.
Spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problem in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay, so please refrain from disturbing others or talking constantly or getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane meeting mode or just turn them off. And if you choose to text anyone, please go out there and text. It's really disturbing to the person next to you and talking as well. Okay, so Marion, wow, she's pretty amazing. God really created an amazing lady there, and Shirley doesn't need an introduction. This is her seventh session with us, and I'm really glad to have her here and all of us safe with her, and let's just see what she has to say.
Love you, love you too. Hi, everyone. I'm Marion. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Get all my doodads out of my pocket. Yes. Create my safety zone. Oh. So it's great to be here tonight, and thank you for sharing the big love day, Valentine's Day. And it's just so beautiful. You know, every day's love day, right? It's a love fest day, but my sobriety date is November 11th, 1989, and this is my home group, and I'm sponsored, and I sponsor women, and my life is full and beautiful today, and at moments like this, it just feels like my heart wants to burst. I just look around the room, and I'm really glad, like, the home group has made it's really cool up here, because whether you like it or not, I can see every single face. And that can be good and that can be bad. Like if you're sitting there and you're bored and you're yawning, or if you're laughing or you're crying, or you're looking away. And like a good alcoholic sometimes, if you're looking away and looking at your watch or looking at it, it's like, oh, it's taking it personal or whatever, you know? It's so funny. But that's the deal. It's like we're all in this together, and I just feel like so this is home, and so many people I just absolutely love in the room. And if you haven't experienced that yet and you're new in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I hope you experience what I've experienced here, a place that I can call home, a place that I can, you know, just connect heart to heart with so many people. And Jess, I'm so proud of you. You're just one of my favorite gals, and it's just beautiful to watch you grow and be back in the trenches of alcoholics and God. And there's a little thing I wanted to add to what I said last week. You know how you kind of like, you, Peter says, you know, there's a meeting before the meeting, there's a meeting during the meeting, and there's a meeting after the meeting when you review or whatever. And it's just God. Like, I want to please God. I want to please God. My whole life, my whole being, I just want to please God and please His people. And not to please people, first and foremost, God, you know. And I guess the deal is, and that was the whole thing with character defects, which happens to be there, is, you know, my life having to be a chameleon and be whatever you want me to be. And I know that for me, that thing changes. Like, I can, there'd be times like, oh, if I wear that, so-and-so thinks going to think this, or if I say this, it's going to offend this person, or all that, you know. And in my walk with God, I've learned that, you know, to speak like I'm speaking to one drunk, and to honor my Heavenly Father. And it's actually a scripture I use, you know, a lot, is let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. you know. And so, and sometimes we come up here and we can ruffle feathers and, you know, whatever. And so, anyway. So I was thinking about last week, I was talking about one of my character defects that's intact a lot is being late. And I wanted to explain this. This has bugged me for a week, you know, like a good alcoholic, not like I can't losing sleep over it or anything like that. But one of the things I was talking about was being on Indian time and or Native American time. And I want you to know that when I say that, like what you can take that as is, well, what does that really mean? And it does really have great meaning in the Native American culture. This probably hasn't bugged you guys at all, but it's bugged me, so I got to get it off my chest. And the deal is, which is really, really, really beautiful, I have a whole lot of great AA friends in the Native communities in Northwest Washington. And what was really beautiful is when I really needed time to slow down and when I needed to not be, because in Western culture, man, you know, we're looking at the clock and we're busting our butts to get there. And, you know, just that feeling and that stress that happens. And the deal is I was a bridesmaid in my friend Althea's wedding, and it was going to start at 4-ish, you know, and it started at 6 or things like that, you know. And what it is they're just not locked into that, you know, that things happen when they happen. And so part of that is kind of a cool thing, but in Western culture, that doesn't work out so good. So there's my pre-thing from last week, and I'm all done now. Just kidding. And I'm going to cry. I was getting in the shower tonight and God said to talk about love. Aw. And all of it's about love anyway, you know. All of it's about love, and all of it's about different forms of love. And because truly, you know, when you take step 7, the 7th step prayer, and you say, you know, my creator, I'm now willing that you have all of me to remove every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out to do your bidding. You know, that's such a true, such a true statement of love. You know, when I'm showing up in relationships, any relationships with sponsees or with Peter or with my children or my brothers and sisters, and I am in my alcoholism and I'm in pride and or I'm in ego or I'm in fear, or if I'm in resentment, I am truly separating myself from you. And it might be I can walk and I can talk and I can act like I'm there for you, but if I'm full of that stuff, I'm gonna be separated from you at the exact same time. And what I found in my own life that, you know, over and over and over again, my life is about returning to love. It's, you know, it's a 29-year, my life is a 29-year journey or a wholehearted journey of love, you know, of returning to love. I was thinking about today that, you know, I was 19 years old when I had my first child. Actually, I just turned 20. I was a month into being 20. And, my oldest son was born on December 25th. He was born on Christmas. And I just turned 20 years old. He always says, Mom, me and you are just like Jesus and Mary, you know, born on Christmas Day, you know. Even got it tattooed on his chest, you know. That's how much he loves his mom, you know. Not me and him. Mary, Jesus, whatever. So the reason I bring that up and why I bring it up is There was a conscious, like, we can look back to the days of our alcoholism. I can look back to my days of my alcoholism, and I can clearly see moments where God saved me through different situations, or there was messages that God was trying to give me at certain times, and I wasn't aware of them. You know, I mean, I was aware of them at the time, but little did I know the journey I would be on. And so I'm washing my hair, and the thought comes to mind tonight about when Brandon was born on Christmas Day, and there was this overwhelming feeling in me, like, I was a mom for the first time. I'm already an alcoholic. I haven't got a clue how to be a mom. My mom was a drunk. She didn't know how to do that stuff, but God bless her. She was beautiful and perfect in every single way. But in that moment, you know, they say that when you birth a child, that you get this mother's instinct that happens. And how this relates to alcoholism is because the moment that I looked at his face and the moment I held my son, I knew inside of me that there is something and someone I would die for. And God came to me in that hospital room in that moment. And just, it wasn't even, there's someone I would die for, but I also knew that it wasn't about me anymore. That it wasn't just about me anymore. That outside of myself, I mean, I cared about my family and I love people, but in my own care, that this child was reliant and dependent on me. And, you know, that was a consciousness of love that I never would have expected and that I never knew was going to happen to me. And somehow I knew how to feed him, and somehow I knew when he cried that he was poopy, or he was, you know, it was like this instinct that was born inside of me, you know? And it's beautiful because this life that we're walking in Alcoholics Anonymous over and over and over and over and over again is this conscious walk of returning back to others, of returning back to this place of selflessness and bottoming out over and over again on those defects or whatever they are, because they're really the selfishness inside of me, you know, that I want to be resentful, or I'm fearful, or I'm judgmental, or I'm any of those things. I'm full of myself. I'm full of my own judgments, and I have to return to this God every single day. I have to return to it in moments, you know. I was telling some kids today about this, that, you know, I'd seen this thing on, you know, that our mind, this magnificent magnifying mind that we have, it needs a hero. It needs something to worship. It needs something to grab onto. It needs, you know, like, remember the day, you know, when you're running and you're gunning and you take the first hit or you take the first drink, and it's like it's locked into that. It's like locks in. And what my mind wants to do when it races today and it gets full of resentment, or it gets full of fear, or it gets full of doubt, or it gets full of judgment, or any of those things. Thank God when I become aware in that moment that where the exact place I need to go is to God. In that place, the only one, you know, if I'm thinking I can, you know, work on this character defect, I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be fearful. It's just another way of me trying to form some kind of control in my life of this, really, of my mind, you know, of this place that, you know, it's like, I don't know whether it comes. You know, I don't know when, you know, by God's mercy and by God's grace, he removes these defects of character. But I have to do some action first. I have to do some action towards that, you know? Okay, I'm going to breathe and drink. I was thinking about love, and I was thinking about my first home group and the ways that people would would show me that love. And I remember one time, you know, I had this friend, Pete. He was a real alcoholic, and when someone would be full of pride and ego in a meeting, he'd go, you know, get off the cross, we need the wood, you know. And he's the same guy that would say, you know, if you want a job, you can't be lazy. It's not like God's going to just, you're just going to pray and God's going to throw a wiener through the window, you know. The same guy who would say about resentments, he put it in the, you know, in just his practical, everyday, good old guy language, right? And you got a resentment towards me? All right, pray for me. I need the prayers and you need the practice, you know? And that's our old timers, these old little things that were just so simple to understand, so simple to just grasp and go, you know, get off the cross. All right, you know, things like that. I want to read you something that I've read here before, because God's moving me towards this. And I've read this a few times here, and here it is again. Oh, there's my son. Hi, Jake. Dear human, you've got it all wrong. You didn't come here to master unconditional love. That is where you came from and where you'll return. You came here to learn personal love, universal love, messy love, sweaty love, crazy love, broken love, whole love infused with divinity. Live through the grace of stumbling, demonstrating through the beauty of messing up. Often. You didn't come here to be perfect. You already are. You came here to be gorgeously human, flawed and fabulous, and then to rise again into remembering. But unconditional love? Stop telling that story. Love and truth doesn't need any other adjectives. It doesn't require modifiers. It doesn't require the condition of perfection. It only asks that you show up and do your best, that you stay present and feel fully, that you shine and fly and laugh and cry and hurt and heal and fall and get back up and play and work and live and die as you. It's enough. It's plenty. And you guys, in 29 years of sobriety, I've never seen anybody at step 7 ask for their character defects to be removed and anybody get rendered white as snow. I kind of have the idea that perfect is that. Perfect is the human condition. Perfect is who we are. You know, from that place, like I was trying to say earlier, you know, if I'm going to be this for somebody and I'm going to be this for someone else and I'm going to move, the only thing that's steady and in the middle anytime of any of that is God. And God accepts us all exactly where we are. It's not an earning. It's not a deserving. It's not a rendering of, oh my God, if I just get there one day. It's right here, right now. And if anything, you know, I had this friend, B.R. Bradbury, and we used to go to treatment centers, and he was a radio guy, and he was an elder father to me, father figure in Alcoholics Anonymous. And as soon as I got a year's sobriety, we would go back to the treatment center where I got sober, and we'd bring in a meeting every month. We bring a meeting in every month. And, you know, he passed away from this disease. And I heard his story more than anybody heard his story. But I can tell you one thing about elders like that. It's like when they pass, you'd give any, you know, you'd hear their story over and over again. And you almost like roll your eyes, you know. I'd give anything to hear his story again. You know, anything to sit and hear BR talk about driving down I-5 in Los Angeles backwards in his radio truck and dressed as a doctor because he was going to a Halloween party. And he could hear on the dispatcher that some crazy person was driving a radio van backwards down the freeway, and he heard it on the scanner and he didn't know it was him. You know, he didn't know it was him. They were talking. He's like, who's that crazy ass? And then all of a sudden went, oh my God, that's me, you know, out of a blackout or whatever, you know. And one of the things he would always take me to, since God has me talking about love, it just feels very fitting, you know. He would take me to this, in daily reflections on my anniversary on November 11th, he would take me to that page when I would be in the place where, oh, I'm not enough. Oh, I don't measure up. Oh, Marion, you suck. Oh, this blah, 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 on and on, blah, blah, blah. That sounds like it's from New York, doesn't it, or something. I'm learning. No. He would take me to this page in Daily Reflections, and on November 11th, it talks about, much like this messy human thing, you know, that my basic life task is to love and nurture and honor myself in my shortcomings, in my messiness, in my gave it a try today. You know, like if we're gonna pray in our Lord's Prayer that we pray every day, you know, you can take, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, what is my daily bread? My daily bread hooks with seventh step prayer, hooks with third step prayer. What is my daily, what do I need for today? You know, if this is a program of a day at a time, if those kids, like in the Bible that it talks about, there was manna from heaven. They tried putting it away and hiding it away and stashing it for the next day. And the next day it was doo-doo, basically, right? You know, what do I need for today? You know, it's like, if this, give me this day my daily bread. Give me what I need today. Give me my strength that I need today in that seven-step prayer. It's not, you know, one of the only things I know that comes out of the 12 and 12 is this, that it says step seven is a step that separates the men from the boys. It separates the girl from the woman. It's like, how am I going to show up in life today? How am I going to show up? You know, am I running out the door with my defects intact, or am I running out the door with a belly full of God, a heart full of God? Because that's what's going to separate me. It's either going to separate me from you, or it's going to connect me to you. One of the two. So I need, when I say the seventh step prayer, when I'm asking for these defects to be removed, when I'm asking to walk with God, when I'm we can have abstinence from alcohol, we can be full of all these defects of character, and we can probably get along in life just attached to these things, right? Or I can show up in that place of love towards my fellows, towards God. So I was thinking of this, I wrote some things down. Pray if it all depends on us, and work as if it all depends on God. And that grace, the grace is always going to favor a prepared mind. So when I set my mind and I set my thoughts on heaven, when I set my mind and I set my thoughts on others, That grace is going to be there for me, guys. It's going to be there for me. And that God, this is, okay, so I found this in this book that Peter had. This is cool. So God is humble and never comes where he's not invited. But God will find some clever way of getting invited. And when you think of that, like a clever way to get invited, when I come up against myself, when I don't like my actions, when I'm bumping into headstrong Marian, judgmental Marian, fearful Marian, resentful Marian, when I bump into those things, and that God can even, you know, speak through those brick walls that I crash up against, like Mickey says, right? You know, crash up against those brick walls. Okay, that's all I have to say about that. This is out of the chapter to the Gnostics. We found, too, that we'd been worshipers. What a state of mental goose flesh that used to bring on. How we not variously worship people, worship sentiment, things, money, and ourselves. And then with a better motive, how we not worshipfully beheld the sunset, the sea, or a flower. Who of us has not loved something or somebody? How much did these feelings, these loves, these worships have to do with pure reason? Little or nothing. We saw at last, were not these things the tissue of which our lives were constructed? Did not these feelings, after all, determine the course of our existence? It was impossible to say we had no capacity for faith or worship. In one form or another, we'd been living by faith and little else alone. And God, faith can be that, guys, you know. It can be the faith in my, I'm so strong spiritually, worshiping worship. I'm just going to take a drink on that. More place. Okay, I'm gonna get there, guys. So we come out of step 5 and we get to step 6, and we're made this list. If we can answer to it as our satisfaction, then we can look at step 6. We've emphasized the willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which have been, we've admitted are objectionable? We've admitted to another person that are objectionable. Okay, guys, on the other side of it, all those things that are actually blocking us from God are actually blocking us from love, are actually blocking us from peace, are actually blocking us from hope, are actually blocking us from all the things that we were seeking all along. You know, our spiritual sickness inside of us as alcoholics. See, like, I believe, like, our alcohol killed all that. Like, it killed the spirit. At first it was the spirit, then it killed the spirit. And all these other things became these attachments of the false self of who we really are. It's not even truly who I really am. I'm not bad Marian, full of resentment and fear and doubt and worry and jealousy and envy and sloth. And that's not the true self of me. It's the false self that's been built around the God that's really inside of me, the really true piece of who I am. The only sound structure, the only sound hope of who Marian is today, of who any of us are, is sound, is love, is hope, is all those things. clouded, covered, moved over top the false self that's all built around it. So as we've taken these steps and as we've journeyed through step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, step six, step seven, it's the destruction of ourself, this whole false self that goes around us. This who I am, my friend Katie says, it's like, you know, our character defects are like a space suit that we wear around us. It's like, you hurt me. It hits something happens outside of myself and it hurts my pride and it hurts my self-esteem and it hurts all these areas of myself, which is the false self of who I really am. See, the biggest thing that our disease has or the enemy has is for us to believe the lie that is truly who we are. Because it's not. It's the biggest freaking lie in the world. And by Paul, he's wearing the shirt right there. Grace wins every single solitary time. Grace wins. You know, and we don't have to. This silly little Facebook post on love that I adore. Because what I know about me is I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to mess it up and I'm going to get back up and I'm going to do it again and I'm going to get back up and I'm going to do it over and over and over again. And the days when it clicks and I'm in and I'm with you and I'm helping you and God's moving through my life, it's like, yes, that's a good day. You know, that's a really good day. And sometimes it's only a good hour and sometimes it's only a good minute. And sometimes I want to curl in a ball and I want to get under a blanket and I want to watch... say yes to the dress all night long, you know, whatever it is, you know, sometimes it's just like that, but I'm a human being. And the deal is if we come fully into everything that's offered in us in Alcoholics Anonymous and in the world to really, truly be these magnificent, beautiful, incredible creatures. You know, I remember Mickey across the way, you know, when we had Fellowship of the Spirit last year and he looked out at us, like I was telling you last week, I'm in that meeting, I'm with all my AAs and I'm judging and I'm pointing and God says, I wish you could see them through my eyes. You know, that was Mickey. If you guys were here last year and he looked out at us, he goes, he said it like a loving father. He said, if you can only see yourself through my eyes, you know, and it was so beautiful. And then he goes over to, but see, he can say that, what I love about Mickey, then we go over to the Floridian, he looks in the mirror and he goes, I don't like what I see. It's like, oh, it's perfect, you know, it's like, just this abundance of love. And what does that come with? It's come with his life, our lives, 60 years sobriety, 20 years sobriety, 5 minutes of sobriety, any of it. If we ever really, really fully connect with who we fully are, and we can take this seventh step and we can humbly hummus word, close to the ground, down on the ground, flat on my face, humbled to God. I have a life beyond my imagination, and it doesn't matter whether I'm living in the back of a Volkswagen bus with a tent, you know, and a dog, you know, and an air mattress maybe, you know, or whatever. When this is on fire and my heart's on fire and I can humble myself to my creator and say I messed up and I got up again and I messed up and I got up again and I messed up and I got up again and wipe off the sweat. Or, you know, whatever it is. Or the dog poo-poo. Or whatever, you know. But it's going to be an over and over again thing, guys. You know, my morning looks like this. My morning looks like the second I come to in the morning. Not come to. Don't think I drank. But the moment my eyes awaken or I don't even think my eyes open up first. I think I awaken before my eyes open up. You know, we kind of do that, right? So before that happens, I go from 3 to 7, man. 3 to 7 are happening before my cup of coffee comes in from my Prince Charming, you know? And 3 to 7 is now. 3 to 7 is it. You know, at the end of step seven, what it says is it ends with an amen. It means I'm done doing that work on the inside. And now I'm ready to go out. And now I'm going to be ready to go out and make things right in the world. But now at that point, I've made it right on the inside. And what a great thing that we get a do-over, that we get to live these shabby little ragamuffin crazy freaking lives out there when we're doing our deal, and that we get a do-over, that we can actually do something different now, you know, and do it with grace and do it with dignity and do it with the power of God behind us. That's a pretty good life. Hi, Bubba's. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? What the heck? What if I'm stuck with being happy, joyous, and free, and loving, and kind, and generous, and sweet, and brilliant, or whatever that is, along with a little messy? Along with a little messy. If we still cling to something we'll not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. And sometimes that's it. You know, God, sometimes you got to help me to be willing. You know, I talked to you last week about resentment and being and those prayers, man. You know, going into, there's some good effective prayers after step five and into step six, and being able to five. You know, the sick man's prayer, and I'm a believer in page 552 in Freedom from Bondage, praying for someone for every day for 2 weeks. You know, we can find in our inventory where we're at fault. We can find we're selfish, we're self-seeking, we're dishonest, and we're afraid. And sometimes we need some prayers to go along with that. That sick man's prayer is beautiful. You guys might not know that, the new people. Sick man's prayer, and also freedom from bondage. My girls get that a lot, you know, praying for that person every day for 2 weeks, even if you don't want it for them. First, you have to pray sometimes to be willing to pray for them. And believe me, I've done that. This was our course. This is the sick man's prayer on page 66 and 67. This was our course. We realized that people who had wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick, though we didn't like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us. They, like ourselves, were sick too. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended us, we say to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done." God, save me from being angry. You know, God, save me from being angry, and God, save me from seeing them through my eyes, through my broken self eyes, and help me to see people through your eyes. And that's a good way of life today. That's a good place to be. And I'm not going to do it perfect, and I don't do it perfect. But I can tell you, the days when I feel most useful to God is when I've practiced those prayers and other prayers I use. So on this day of love, you know, we got babies in the room, and we got sweethearts in the room, and we've got dear friends in the room, and dear friends in the fellowship in the room, and all those expressions of God's love all around us. And I just pray you have an amazing night, and I think I'm done.
Let's thank Marion again. Okay. So I'd like to introduce our secretary, Mark.
I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. Keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. The baskets are now going to go around. While that's going on, I've asked a friend to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering, and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. So Steve's going to come up and read that for us.
Good evening, I'm Steve. I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, Steve.
Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism, recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for a lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you for your service. Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% of them got sober at once and remained that way. 25% of them sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above show a 75% success rate. Can I please see a show of hands of recovered alcoholics in the room tonight? Anyone in this room need a sponsor tonight? Don't be shy. Make yourself known. We got one. Would you please stand up, both of you guys, so we can see? So we got two. All you people with your hands raised, let's bring these people back to God. A couple quick announcements. Do we have announcements tonight? There we go. So Broward County Intergroup. It's the most happening joint in town for your AA supplies, so head on down. We have some volunteer opportunities. Looks like Wednesday, February 13th at Denny's on Powerline Road in Fort Lauderdale at 7 p.m. Broward County Institutions Committee. February 9th was the last one. That was this week. The next one's going to be March 9th if anyone's interested in learning more about that or getting involved in that. That's the people who bring the meetings to jails, institutions, treatment centers, people who can't get outside to places like this for meetings. So then we have the Spring Fling. The big attraction is the chili cook-off and dinner. So if you're interested in that. And then right here in this very building on June 21st and 22nd, that weekend, we're going to be having the Fellowship of the Spirit 2019. We have Mickey and Marie flying in from Denver, Colorado. It's an AA and Al-Anon speaker, dual speaker. We did it here last year. It was great, and it's going to be a great time this year. So if you're interested in that, we'd love to have you. And please join us Monday night for the Big Book Study Meeting, where the Big Book comes alive. Fellowship starts at 6:30. Big Book Study starts at 7:15. We meet on the third floor of this building. We also have CDs, mugs, large print big books, little red books, and big red books now, and big book dictionaries for sale on that back retail table. For this meeting, we meet every Thursday. Same thing, fellowship at 6:30. Meeting starts at 7:15. Marion's going to be here next week again. We ask that you be courteous and be ready to begin at the sound of the bells or the Road to Recovery tune. We'll see you next week. One more quick announcement, which I don't have here, but if you guys are going to smoke or vape, if you would, please do so. Just go to this back corner where the buckets are. There's other functions going on in this church. There's Boy Scouts here tonight, and we'd love to just be respectful of that party. So thank you. See you next week.
We have tonight's session, all past speaker sessions on podcasts online, or which is free on alcoholicsandgod.org. I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night Big Book study, and those who wish to thank tonight's speaker, which I highly suggest, is down the center aisle. And if anyone needs a sponsor and you want to just come up here and have a discussion with somebody that's willing to sponsor you, come on up and let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
I am desperately in need of restoration. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all, and I am willing to hand over every one of them, 'cause they won't profit me anything. On my feet again.
zan, zan, zan. Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby, baby. Yes, when you're laughing, ba, 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 bo, do, when you're laughing. Yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope the world smiles for you.
it shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Fog is lifted. See the light, count my blessings when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Fear has left me and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time, sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white light to set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, and I'm about to die. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's on my side. For the first time in my life, are green now, growing vines. They twist and turn each way, flowers blooming all the time. That's at my door. Never before I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. Broken man, I travel far and wide through the great divide, through his own heart, yeah. Well, I have a life today when it give away and it's just about to start. So I face each day brand new way, show up and plug in my guitar, and I play my songs, and people sing along, and stomp their feet and raise their arms, and here in this moment that we share, nothing could compare. Lessons when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Yeah, I dream now, and everything's all right. Oh man, going on 10 years old, that song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.